Alright guys, what's up? It's been a long time. This is the Escape Artist Podcast. And you're listening to Marshall Couture, also known as Plex in Hip Hop Circles. Haha, I flipped it back and forth in that one intro. So how you guys doing? I am doing alright. It is the new year, 2016! Not flying out the gate, dropping podcasts right out the gate, like with a New Year's resolution. It's about the second weekend to the month, and it's not my goal to create things exactly, which I'll get into very soonly. In fact, I had zero plans to record any podcasts until just right now, because I'm on a road trip and I have a lot of thoughts running through my mind, and I love podcasting. I really do. I love doing this Escape Artist Podcast, and I miss it, you know, and man, I just went through a lot of soul searching. And I recorded podcasts during that here and there, but I did not publish them. There's actually one still here on my phone, so I might re-listen to that and see if I want to publish that one still. If so, I might put it as either a bonus podcast, or I might put it up before this one, or who knows, maybe neither of these will be published. But I hope it does, because if I'm just sitting here talking for no reason, then I don't know, that seems silly. But I guess it's probably helpful. But in the end, if I do, then I'm just talking to myself, and that's really weird. So anyways, podcasting. All right, so I guess this will be like the New Year's episode. There's so much to talk about. This is going to be kind of random. I have a lot of thoughts about drawing, about creating projects, goals, all that stuff. So we'll get into that. But yeah, I don't know. I guess I always try to do a little update in the beginning. I really do want to bring back the Escape Artist Podcast. I've toyed around with the idea of it becoming something that is done more on YouTube than anything else, where, like, you know, I'll do a video of me drawing or painting or whatever I'm doing, and then, like, overdub over the top of it, you know, the podcast, which I might just, I don't know, I might do it that way anyways. Like, even with this, I might, you know, put it out as a podcast and put it out on top of YouTube. I was just, the idea of doing it on YouTube, I think, was more like to reduce my responsibilities of posting it in different places and in different ways, because I don't want to focus on quote-unquote creating content. I think I will at some point be focusing back on that, but I don't want that to be my goal right now, you know. I don't want to, like, I end up being so focused on that that I'm not really making my art better. I'm not creating projects that I want to create. I'm, you know, instead creating content-driven projects, or doing art for the sake of having content, you know. And, you know, there's a lot of gray areas with that, and there is ways you can do it, and blah blah blah, we've talked about them, but I want to get better at art. I do want to create projects, but as I talk about, that's not my focus right now exactly. Even though that's kind of what I'm working towards. My dream is to make a living with art and music or whatever, you know, with creating things. But that might not be what's in the cards for me. I shouldn't even say in the cards, because to me that's almost blasphemy. But whatever, it's a saying. But what I mean is it might not be what, you know, God has for me. So most of all, more than anything in this world, outside of this world, whatever, more than anything, I want to do God's will. I want to do stuff that glorifies Him. But He's created me as a person who likes to be creative, and I don't think He would have put that, I don't think I, the way I say it, I don't think He would have put that desire in my heart if He didn't want me to use it. But whether you believe in God or not, you know, it's, I think it's pretty obvious that if you have an inclination towards a specific skill, then you probably should do something with it, you know, and not just live in mediocrity, you know what I mean? Like, whether you believe in God or not, you know, if you're just doing what you have to do to pay the bills and that's all you're doing, I think, what kind of life is that, you know? Is that a life that means anything? I mean, to me, I think it's important. I think purpose and meaning in the context of our lives is important, you know? And probably the main way I derive that for myself is my faith in God and His purposes and it has to do with what He's made me to enjoy. And you know, I don't have kids, so I guess for a lot of people their purpose ends up and meaning ends up being that. Which is great. That's awesome. To me, a lot of people, they have, you know, sometimes they put everything into their kids, and I think that's kind of par for the course, really. When you have a kid, that's what it demands, and that's what you should be doing. You know, there's plenty of deadbeat moms and pops out there, you know, and I certainly would never want to be one of them if I had a kid. And I mean, I've had them, you know. So, not that. I mean, I love my mom. I've had different dad situations, and I love them all. You know, they're cool. You know, I never really had a huge like you know the typical step kid hates the step parent thing. I never was exactly like that. But, you know, my step-parents were never abusive either, so maybe I would be like that if they were abusive, or something. You know, they were always, you know, if there was abuse, it would be, like, mild type of thing, like, you know, just being negative towards me or something, which it wasn't, whatever, I don't need to get into all that. But for the most part, I've been fortunate, you know, even when I had stepfathers, they weren't deadbeats, you know, so that's good. I don't know why I got on this whole thing, but the point is, I don't know what the point is, but the thing is, I don't know. Let's get back to updates, is really the thing. So yeah, I did a lot of soul searching last year, and just basically reconfigured myself, my life, my wife's life, and me. We just got focused back on what we really, you know, believe is true, and it's just been a real awesome thing, you know. There's been a lot of positive changes. And the biggest thing is I've deepened my relationship with my wife. And I put this whole post on, like, I didn't really accomplish anything hardly last year. I mean, I guess there's some takeaways. I did accomplish some things. I wasn't totally inactive creatively last year, but in fact, I started off the year, the first like 5 months more or less, with a bang, you know, and I was really producing a lot. But, you know, creatively though, I wouldn't necessarily call myself a success, but I do kind of consider last year as kind of like my most successful year to date, you know, because I deepened my relationship with my wife, we got closer to God, and we established some things, you know, that I think are helping us in our life a little bit. We went on the vegan road, which I think is good and healthy. I don't call myself a vegan or anything. I do eat meat from time to time, but for the most part, I try to keep my meals plant-based. My political views and stuff went through a lot of metamorphization in the last year. I'm definitely, whereas I've always considered myself to be mostly conservative, I still lean sort of towards that way, but I'm much more in the middle than I ever was. And I've seen the ridiculousness of the straight up like Republican side, or the, you know, the stereotypical, you know, right wing, Bible believing, whatever, you know, like what people tend to think of, which is not the case. You know, that is the case for some people, but I don't know. I live in New England. We're pretty liberal here. I'm not very liberal, but I have definitely hit the middle of the road more, and some probably of those crazy conservative Republican people might think I'm being too liberal, probably, but I'm not. I'm going for what I think is right. I don't care, and I don't have any, you know, I just like in the prequels of Star Wars, I would move for a vote of no confidence in our government right now, or really in the past, I don't know, past 100 years maybe, with things just getting worse and worse as the years go by. But I don't know, even just the whole past of America is certainly questionable. Anyways, politics now I'm talking about. I'm trying to get over to art. So the update is I did a lot of soul searching, blah, blah, blah. And I consider last year as a success, but not in the ways that I normally would, that most people count success. Not in career, not in creative endeavors. I want those to be successful too, but that's not what was successful. So I guess that brings us to now. Yeah, I'm trying to think of other updates, but there's not exactly updates. I mean, what I'm doing now is I guess my next update would be, and it'll go into the topic, is that my New Year's resolution, which I was talking about, you know, in the Facebook post. That's where I've been trying to, like, write things on, like, almost like blogs, life blog type things, just straight on Facebook, because it works. There's a tip for you guys. If any of you guys are, you know, looking for a social media tip, this is definitely a good one. And I've seen it work very well in my friends who do it, and I've started to do it, and I've definitely gotten a lot more interaction when I do it. And that is on Facebook, you know, medium to long, you know, I've like, I don't know, five-ish paragraph posts on Facebook, you know, just straight up text posts. People actually read those, you know? It's weird. Like, I could write a blog and nobody will read it, but I can write it on Facebook and I'll get interaction and people will read it and get into it. So, you know, you might want to consider putting that into your mix. And it has been recognized by, you know, social media gurus, namely Gary Vaynerchuk. He's like probably the number one top social media guru of all time, really. And, you know, I take a lot of what he says with a grain of salt, but that one I think he's right on point with. I think he's right on point with a lot of things, but I'm just not the hardcore marketer that he is, and I wouldn't want to be. I'm an artist, you know, and that's what I do. And I try to learn some things that'll help me get my art out there, but I'm kind of... I've taken a big step away from taking in the kind of content that is geared more towards, you know, making your art turn into a business or whatever. It's not really my goal anymore. It's just something I would really hope to happen. But you know, if it doesn't, it's no big deal. And that may change, you know. But for right now, that's where I'm at. It's not a priority in my life. And I think it's hindered my success. Well, to me, it's all progress. Like, I was focusing on that a lot, and I'm glad I learned a lot of that stuff, because now I know where the resources are when I am ready to push a little harder. And also, I've learned so much that I can draw on that, you know, that knowledge, you know, and hopefully it will serve me well in the future, you know, when I do feel it, when I do decide to pursue something a little more concrete, you know, in that way. So, and I'll be happy to give out tips. You know, I feel like I'm now in a more of a position. You know, I'm in a pretty good position where if somebody has questions, you know, I can help them out, because I've seen a lot of things that work and a lot of things that don't work, and I've gone through a lot of training, and I don't know, I just, like, and I feel like when I do decide to do this again, like, to make the push again, I might be able to come at it with a little better perspective. So, I don't know. We'll see. And, so, yeah. But, yeah, long text Facebook posts. Do that, you know. I'm telling you, that's one way to kind of just get interaction and get people to caring about you. One of the biggest things in business that you want to do, or in building a quote-unquote brand. Some people don't like that term. I don't care. It's a good enough term. It can be bad or good, you know. Same thing with content. It can be bad or good. A lot of these terms, you know, use it the way you want, you know. Don't use it the way, you know, these slimy marketers use it or something. So anyways, one of the biggest things you want to do when you're building a brand, probably, if there's one thing you want to focus on, it's building trust, or building rapport, as they say. And the way you build trust is you get people to know you. And just having people know you, you know, is a good thing regardless. And the way you get people to know you is you got to put yourself out there, you know, whether it's podcasting or blogging or whatever. You got to put your, like, share some of what's going on inside of you, you know. even if it's not related to 100% to what you're trying to do, you know, people like to find out that, you know, some famous person or whatever likes to walk his dog and has a passion for a certain kind of breed or whatever, you know, or whatever. You know, people like to know those little things, you know. There's so many just, you know, and that causes people to find points to relate with you, or just, you know, they like to see the full person, you know, and it makes them seem like a real person, and that in turn creates trust, and you want to create trust, and the thing is, see, all this stuff can be used for good or bad, you know. You know, it sounds slimy, you know, you want to create trust, but it's not, like, you do that already, you know. You want to create trust in your marriage, you know, in your relationship with your boyfriend or girlfriend. You want to create trust because you want to be able to trust each other, and you want to be able to work well together, you know. You want to create trust in a collaborative effort on a comic book, or with your kid, you know, because that is what forms relationship. So true, good, like, healthy business is really just relationships. And relationships where you create, you know, win-win situations where all parties are benefited, you know. A good friendship is one where there's give and take, you know, and where, you know, a good, one of the best ways to create a friendship with somebody who you want to create a friendship with is just to start helping them out in different ways, you know, whatever way you possibly can. Not for the, I mean, obviously you want to create a friendship, but, you know, do it freely. Do it in a way where it's just like, if they don't end up wanting to become friends with me, it's okay, but, you know, at least I'm doing something good for somebody. It's always good to do something good for somebody. You know, just do that, you know. Just for the sake of doing good. I love that, you know. That's like a big thing in my life that I've been trying to be better at. But just focus on, you know, I don't know. That's been a theme for years now, you know. And I feel like I've been getting better and better at that. You know, there's times when, you know, I have family over or something, and I can't afford to feed them all the time necessarily. But sometimes I just do, even when I can't afford it. And, you know, I feel like it's like I just want to do that to be a blessing to them, to be nice to them, to love them, you know. And it ends up being reciprocated. What goes around comes around type of thing, you know. I believe there is a spiritual element to it, but even if not, it just happens. It's human nature, you know. When you do stuff selflessly for other people, it just happens that they'll help you back too, you know. Or the universe, if you want to say that, will bring good around back to you. It doesn't always work like, you know, mathematics or any, it definitely doesn't work like mathematics. There's plenty of times where I give with the person, you know, has no chance of helping me because we don't even know each other, you know. It's like people, I try to have a little extra cash on me sometimes for, you know, people who are standing on, you know, the corner or whatever, or like at a stoplight or whatever. And I'll throw a dollar their way, you know. Maybe they'll use it for drugs, I don't know. Or maybe a couple dollars or whatever. I don't know. You know, I've even started I haven't done it yet, but I did put one of my jackets in my car that I want to give to somebody, you know, just so they can be warm. And I have some other, I want to collect some more clothes, you know, and just give that to people who are like on the street or something. Because I don't need it, you know. I have plenty, you know, I have more than enough. So some of my extra stuff I want to give away, you know. So, like, there's no chance that they're going to reciprocate that, you know. I'm not doing it. I even hesitate to tell you guys this because I'm not, like, I don't want people to think I'm doing it so, oh, hey, Marshall's a good guy, so I'm going to start buying his comics or something. Like, I'm just, this is a more of a, you know, this podcast is sharing everything, you know? So, you know, but I try to learn how to give more in more situations, you know, and I just want to be the person who's giving, and I wish I had more, you know, to give, because I have to be humble enough to be on the receiving position, and sometimes I can't give back, you know, to the person who's giving to me, you know, and it's hard to do that. Like, it's harder for me to do that than to give, you know, even when I don't have a lot, you know. I don't like taking handouts. I just don't feel comfortable, you know. And I don't mean that in a political way, but I do. I appreciate it, and I'm learning to just keep it simple and appreciate it when somebody does that, because they're giving and wanting to give and wanting to be that person, you know, who's helping another person out too. You know, we're human, you know, we like when in the good situations and in the best of circumstances, we do like to be helpful to people, you know. And I hope that trend continues and increases in our world, you know. If that did, that's would be awesome. That would change the world. So anyways, again, I'm way off topic, but can't keep on a topic today, but I have so much I want to talk about. I need to be doing this weekly, because I love getting my thoughts out, you know. So anyways, let's see. So, leading back up to my goals for this year, my goal, and we'll just get right into it, my goal is not to create anything. And I know that sounds crazy, right? That sounds weird. And if you read my Facebook post, you know where I'm going, maybe. But it's good to have a reminder. It's good for me to remind myself, you know. But my goal this year, I have one goal. First of all, that's one thing, you know. I don't have, the most years I go in with like two or three, or sometimes I've gone in with crazy amounts of goals, like I'm going to put out this many books, I'll be lucky if I get a mini comic out. But, you know, so I have one goal this year, and my goal is not to create anything. My goal is absolutely 100% not result oriented, even though it may get me the best results. And so what is my goal? My goal is not results. It's not to make a new comic. It's not to make, you know, a new album. It's not to learn this or learn that. My goal is to spend 30 minutes or more a day, just like the 100 days of comics thing. But I'm doing this every single day. 30 minutes a day, every single day, I need, or more, I need to be working on something, you know, that, like, it's the work. The goal is the work. Work 30 minutes or more a day on my passion, whatever that may be at the time. And I'm not saying what that work is. I'm not setting goals on what that work is either. Because as you guys know, if you've listened to my podcast, I cannot stick to anything, you know? And you know what? I'm taking a chance. I'm embracing it. Because I haven't been able to do it, and I don't think I'm going to be able to do it, aside from a miracle from God. And, you know, I pray that God helps me with that. I absolutely do. But I have tried. You know, and I just can't, I can stick to something for maybe a month or maybe 5 months at the most or something like that, but eventually I just want to do something different. And I'm not focusing on business goals, because if I can't stick to anything, how am I supposed to form a business, you know, if the business changes every month or two or three or four? So I'm just focusing on work. And, you know, so that's my creative goal for the year. That's it. focusing on work. I'm working on creativity half an hour a day or more every day. Some days that's me literally just eking out that half an hour. But most days I get a good hour or two in, you know, at least. And some days I get even more than that, you know. Some days, like on a Saturday, if I'm lucky, I might be able to get a full day, a full work day out of that, you know, or more, you know. So it is what it is. Specifically is that meaning right now? It just happens to be meaning learning how to play the guitar. So how did that happen? I mean, that's like way out of left field, right? That doesn't even help me with my old goals of creating comics and stuff like that. It's not building towards anything. Well, my secondary work that I've been doing is sketching. Basically filling up sketchbooks. Kind of doing concept designs. I did a lot of writing for comic books, trying to write new ideas, and I have like a good like 10 to 15 really cool ideas that I mean, you know, some might be really awesome and some are like just okay, but I did a lot of writing leading up to the new year, and I thought that's what my focus was going to be this year, was creating some of those books or whatever. But, you know, and I think I'm still leaning towards that. So, you know, kind of a secondary thing of work, you know, if I do finish my guitar or whatever. Because I want to stick to the guitar right now just because, you know, I'm learning the very basics. And I'm still just learning simple chords and how to make the change from one chord to another. And just really basic stuff. I'm still building up my calluses. So, you know, I perceive myself, will I work on it all year long? Will it be guitar? I don't know, maybe. But I know that I want to get to the point past where I've gotten learning music before, you know. Before, I would try to learn the piano or guitar and stuff, and it would last like a week if I'm lucky, you know. And I don't want that to happen this time. I mean, right now I'm already on about 3 weeks. I started before the New Year's. So I just want to get to a place where I have a certain enough amount of skill that I can pick up where I left off. Because every time I restart nowadays, when it comes to music, I'm like kind of relearning the basics again. And that's annoying. Like, I want to get to the point where I know how to, where I know the basic chords, where I know just the basics down to a point where I've kind of mastered, you know, where I've come to a certain mastery of it, where if I put it down for a few months, I could pick it up and, you know, continue where I left off, is the point. Which is what I already said. But, you know, I want to know the chords and only need maybe a quick refresher to get back to knowing them, you know. But I don't want to have to start from square one again, you know. So, I don't know. But even still, you know, it's like kind of guitar right now is like, it's just the primary thing I'm working on, because it's when you're first starting something, you know, it has to be a bit all-inclusive, because when things are new, it's just, it's harder to grasp it, you know. But once you start to get the hang of things and you've gotten the basics down, you know, you can kind of let your mind think on other things, you know, or, you know, right now I'm still built. It's like when you first drive, you know, it's like everything is like you're thinking about every little thing, like turning the lights on, you know, checking your mirrors and stuff, and like putting your seatbelt on even, and like, you know, putting the blinker on at the right time. Where do you have to stop? Where do you slow down? What do you do at a four-way stop? What do you, you know, do on a highway? How do you build up? Like, you're thinking of all these little things. Where's the gas pedal? Where's the break? If you're, you know, you have to shift, then that's a whole nother situation. So you're thinking about so much, you know, you're thinking about everything, where now I drive and I record a podcast. I go, you know, I'll do a 2-hour drive and forget even the trip because I've been focusing on something else, you know, but I'm still driving safe. Everything's pretty much automatic. All I have to do is look out for danger, you know. Other than that, everything's automatic. So, you know, right now I'm at the point where I'm still thinking about exactly where to put my fingers and stuff with the guitar. And so, you know, once I get to the point where I know all these chords and I don't even have to think about them, things like that, then I can make that a secondary goal. And, you know, I can start making maybe comics or whatever, working on my comics, my new goal. And, you know, maybe that'll happen in 3-4 months or something. I don't know. And then, you know, I can still play the guitar, you know, I can still practice 30 minutes a day. But it won't be like, oh, maybe I skip a day and then go back to it the next day. And maybe I'm learning a specific song and I only work on it for 3 days and then maybe 3 days the next week or something like that. And it's not, you know, that big of a deal. So I can kind of touch back and forth with it. I don't have even a goal for my guitar playing. I'm not like trying to, I mean, I imagine eventually I'll incorporate it into my hip hop music, or I don't know, maybe I'll play in a worship band or something. I don't know. Or just jam out with friends. I don't really have a specific goal. My goal is just to learn it. That's it right now. I'm not even like trying to play songs right now, even though the training I'm taking does encourage you to like learn songs. I still have family over from the holidays, like, so, you know, they've been over for a couple weeks, and so I'm kind of more focused on them than anything, but I'm getting my 30 minutes or more in a day. So I'm not trying to learn like a crazy amount of things. I'm just trying to keep practicing them chords, keep trying to get those transitions smoother. So I'm not even trying to learn a song or anything, but I will soon. I'm happy with that. It's like every day I'm so happy that I've done my 30 minutes and I'm that much closer to whatever it is God has for me, you know? So that's the focus now. I mean, and the thing is with that is the reason why I'm really excited about making the work the goal and not the results is when I made the results the goal, if I started slipping on a day-to-day basis, then I would procrastinate. And then the goal of the result would just get bigger and bigger, or, you know, I'd just be feeling the failure of not getting that result done. And I would procrastinate more, and I would go for more and more days without even doing 30 minutes, because what is 30 minutes going to do when you have this huge goal of creating a whole graphic novel or something, you know what I mean? It's like, you know, you do that 30 minutes and you're just like, awesome, like, I am now like an eighth of an inch closer to my goal of, you know, 10 miles, you know what I mean? And it's just like, what's the point? You know, it gets to be feel meaningless, and you get into these traps, these mind psychological traps, and you kind of screw yourself, I think. So I'm making work the goal, and the results are going to be what, I don't know, we'll find out what it happens, you know. And even when I do get to the point where I'm like, okay, I'm ready to work on a comic, or maybe it'll be like I'm working on comics plural, you know, and every day I just got to do 30 minutes. You know, as long as I'm putting those 30 minutes in every day, I'm getting closer. And I'll get closer to my results faster if I do that than if I, you know, I just know myself and I know I'll procrastinate and stop and try to wait for inspiration. And I can't do that. I'm too old, you know, I don't know, I guess I'm about to be 37. Getting close to 40, and, you know, I'm still young, but I'm not getting any younger, and I want to be further along. That, you know, than I've been, and I think working 30 minutes or more a day, every single day, on my projects, whatever they may be today, whatever I feel like doing today, is going to get me closer than, you know, trying to make a specific project. And it might be different for other people. That might not work. You know, maybe setting a goal to create a project works for you better than my method. But in the past, I've had much more success focusing on the work in little bursts. So now I'm making that my main thing all year long, focusing on the work, not the results, you know? And I think, I mean, I'm already doing good. I started before the new year even, and I haven't missed a day. It's not hard to get 30 minutes in a day. And it helps to not have to create content about it either. You know, content will be something hopefully I can incorporate at some point. But, like now, I guess, I believe in putting out a lot of content, you know. But it has to come second to doing the actual work. It just has to. Because what's the point of creating content if you're not actually creating anything, you know? It's just the way it has to be for now. I get too distracted with creating content. I get too distracted with creating a business. I get too distracted with projects, creating a specific project. And then I feel bad when I drop one in favor for another. I get too distracted with doing stuff for people. Like, I need to start just saying no to everybody. If they want me to do a commission, I don't know, I think I need to say no to that. It's not moving me towards anything that I actually want to do. When I first started wanting to make music or make comics, create my own characters, that's how it all started for me. I saw other people creating their own characters. I saw other people making music, and I wanted to do my version of that, you know? That's how it started. That's what I wanted to do. And never in my mind was I thinking, in fact, I didn't even want to make, like, even though I love, like, Spider-Man and X-Men and stuff, I had zero desire to draw those comics one day, you know? I just didn't. It's not something I'm interested in. So even on that level, you know, I wouldn't be happy, really, because it's just not what I want to do. I want to create my own thing, you know? And so never did I think, well, I'm going to start focusing on commissions one day and make a living doing that. And I'm not saying that's not a good thing for people to do. I am inspired now by people who do that. I mean, I love Jeff Lafferty, and that's his main business, you know? But he wants to create his own thing too. But he's been able to find a way. If I was able to find a way to sustain myself that way, which I've tried, but probably not hard enough, then I would probably continue in the route that, you know, makes that happen. But it hasn't worked out for me. And, you know, probably the fact that he has a kid and he's been able to make it work has been encouraging to him and helped him to make that a priority for him. And I think that's awesome. I love it. It's still inspiring to me. And I have to, like, make myself not do that because it's so inspiring to me. But the thing that's worked for me is, you know, work at a menial job doing something I don't like, which I actually am not as miserable at it in it as I used to be. I used to just hate it. There are days here and there where I hate it, but for the most part, I'm in my groove. I work with people who I like for the most part and who I get along with. And the only thing that I don't like is I don't make enough money. I really wish I could make more money, but it is what it is. You know, I don't know what else to do, because anytime I try to focus on finding another trade, I have so little desire to make that happen. And maybe if all of a sudden my wife got pregnant, I would change that, you know, because I have to. But I think I'd be kind of miserable, and, you know, not miserable with having a kid, but I'd be a little miserable with trying to create a trade out of something I hate, you know. So, but even anytime I do try to, like, look into doing a trade, I just get distracted by making art and music, and I never even get close to it. So it's foolish, maybe, probably, but I don't think I can go down that path. One thing I did think of that I thought was maybe a very possible thing that I could do is coloring comic books for extra money, and who knows, maybe that could become a career. And I would probably have much more fun doing that than I would doing what I'm doing, you know. But I need to save up money to take, there's a online course that I think I can take to do that, and I would like to get some kind of tablet that helps me to do that better, like a Cintiq or whatever, not the fancy schmancy ones, but like just a basic one that's better than the straight up bamboo Wacom, but, you know, still cheap enough, and something that I can just work on. Because I could see myself doing that, even though it's not super creative, even just flatting, like, I could see myself doing that for almost as a living. It's not the most fun thing, but at the very least, it's within the realm of stuff I like to do, you know. It would be better than lifting boxes and making deliveries, you know. Because that has nothing to do with what I'm interested in, you know? And maybe that could shoehorn me into, like, something I actually do like doing, you know? So, plus I'd like to learn those programs better, you know? So, and I was doing it a little bit for my comic. I got, like, two pages flatted. But it took a long time, and it was taking up time that I could have been using to work on my own projects. So that's, will I ever make that hurdle to, you know, jump that hurdle to make that into an actual career? I don't know. And I know it doesn't pay great, but I think you can work your way into an actual career with that. And it's like a humble stepping stone into the comics profession, I think. So that's kind of, I think, if I had to create a trade and I was forced to, I might push in that direction. I was thinking about doing, like, graphic design and that kind of thing, but it just seems too overwhelming to me. There's a lot more knowledge you need, and I don't know, that's also an option, but I don't know that I want to go down that route. So we'll see. Who knows? Maybe that'll end up being what I do, you know, eventually. And I can be okay with that, probably. I'd be much more okay with that than doing what I'm doing now. Even though I don't mind working with the people I'm working with, it's just, like I said, it's nowhere near what I'm interested in. So, that all being said, my goal this year is to work, is 30 minutes or more a day working on creative things, whether that's learning the guitar, whether that's just drawing in my sketchbook, getting better, which I wanted to say, or like actually working on a project, whatever. You know, it doesn't matter to me as long as I'm working every day. That's the goal. Okay, so I've said that enough. My little secondary point was I do work on my learning the guitar 30 minutes a day. and sometimes it turns into like more like an hour or so. But I've also, like, as a secondary work on stuff, if I finish the guitar thing and I still have more time or I want to, I'm just working in my sketchbook. You know, I have been doing that a lot lately too. So it's like, and I write it down. I got myself like this little calendar or whatever. Just a little like handheld calendar, and every day I write exactly what I did. In fact, I have to update yesterday because I didn't write that I did some drawing in my sketchbook. So I want to write that in there. And maybe at the end of the year I'll tally it all up and say, this is what I've done, you know. Maybe I won't, probably won't, but I can at least look back and see, was that a successful thing to work on stuff for 30 minutes a day or more every day? And I have a feeling it will be. I don't know what it will come, and this way I won't be disappointed at the end of the year. As long as I did my work, I won't be disappointed, because the goal is the work. Hopefully that ends up meaning that I've created some things and maybe even sold some things. That would be cool. But my goal is not the results. The thing is how much control do we have over the results? You know what I mean? Like, really. Like, even if we do focus on a specific goal to create, say, a comic, you know, who knows if it's going to sell? I don't know. You know, maybe, and also, there's so many factors going into a comic. You might have a certain vision for a comic, but then because of certain circumstances, or maybe, you know, maybe things go wrong, or maybe things go right. Maybe things go right in a way you didn't expect, and that comic becomes something different, even more robust and more cool, you know. I just recently, so the point of that is, even when we do focus on results and we're good at that, we still don't have a lot of control on what the result actually ends up being. And I just recently listened to an audiobook. I think it's just called Super Mario Brothers or something, or Super Mario or something like that. But it's basically about the history of Nintendo. But, you know, it does emphasize, you know, the role that Super Mario as a character has played throughout Nintendo's history. And it's basically the Mickey Mouse of, you know, of Nintendo. You know, what Mickey Mouse is for Disney, you know, Super Mario is for Nintendo to a certain degree. So, and it's very interesting. It was a great listen. I probably listen to it again. And what's interesting about all that is, I mean, Nintendo originally did not start out as even a video game company. It started out as, well, it started out on as a bunch of different things. I think it was even like a cab service type of thing starting out. But one thing, the reason why it's called Nintendo is it means something like, you guys might know better than me, but I forget what they said, but it means something like the luck of the game, or something about luck and chance. So it related to gaming, but they first started with, like, I think some kind of card game or something. It might have been kind of like a Pokemon thing, I don't even know, or it might have been just regular playing cards, I can't remember, but it started out with that, and it morphed into different things. I think it was like doing bike rentals or something at one point, or I don't know, it was stuff that was totally unrelated almost to gaming, but I think it initially started out as something that has to do with gaming or puzzles or something, and I think the name is Fun and Luck or something, I don't know. But, you know, it eventually morphed into, you know, let's start doing some arcade games, you know, or whatever, I guess. And there was a lot of different arcade games, you know. And I forget what the name of the one that kind of began their whole quest to what they are now or whatever, but there was a game, and I can't remember what it was called, but they made, like, I think 2,000, or they made like 3,000 arcade games, and they were coming to the U.S. You know, that's what kind of, it was like the American branch of the U.S. And, you know, they shipped all these games over, and they could only sell like 1,000 of the 3,000, and it wasn't even doing well. And they had 2,000 of them like in a warehouse or whatever, and it was like, what are they going to do now, you know? And basically, they were in a hole, and they came up with this other game called Donkey Kong. And what they did was they retrofitted Donkey Kong to play on those 3,000 arcade units that were a different game, you know, and they used the programming from that, and just they were able to figure out a way to do that, which was actually common practice, you know, for phasing from a game that's losing popularity to a game that's more popular or whatever, for more successful companies. But that was unheard of for a company like Nintendo, who was just starting and who was pretty much putting it all on the line at this point to do this. And but they did it, and Donkey Kong became huge, absolutely huge. So, and then, you know, Donkey Kong morphed into different games featuring Super Mario or Mario or whatever, and Mario morphed into a bunch of things. He was first, you know, in Donkey Kong, he was more of a construction worker, and he took on a lot of different jobs, basically. And even, and that continued throughout all of the history. He wasn't always, quote unquote, a plumber, but even the plumbing thing was like wishy-washy, because like, what did he really have anything? He didn't, the only thing about plumbing that he had to do was he jumped down pipes, you know, eventually. So I don't know, but you know, it's, Mario has morphed into so many different things, and his story has morphed, and it's basically just been reiterated and reiterated to death. But it's worked, and they've used, you know, and you know, Nintendo went from arcade games to putting together a console, you know, the NES, and it's amazing, because it was like, they put out the NES after console gaming was dead, but it was popular in Japan still, but it was dead in America. And Atari was dead and all that stuff, but there still was consoles out there, but it was like, nobody wanted to get into that business, because it was a dying breed. And then they came out with NES, and boom, consoles were back on the market. And, you know, it's just interesting how the company morphed, and you'll have to check out the book to find out more. And I liked listening to that too, because like, I can recognize the history of it, because I grew up with Nintendo, you know, and seeing what happened with Nintendo. I didn't follow it closely, you know. I had a Nintendo when I was a kid, but I didn't follow it closely with the Super Nintendo and Nintendo 64 and the GameCube, and then eventually I got a Wii just so I could watch Netflix. And now I have an Xbox, but I've never been a huge gamer. I do enjoy video games, and I wish I had more time to play them, because they are fun, but I've never been anywhere close to a gamer. I'll play a game for, you know, a few weeks, a month or two at the most, which I barely ever do that, but when I have, you know, gotten into it, I do it for that, and then I get bored of it and want to go to a new game or something. Much like my art career. But, so I've never been like a crazy gamer. I also really like to play with friends, you know. And I've never done the online thing, but I imagine I'd really like that, because I like to play with friends more than I like to play by myself. So, but yeah, as I grew up, you know, I've always wanted to do the music and art thing, so I just replaced instead of gaming, I focus on art, and that's my game, you know, that's what I've always said. And you know, I'll do an app on my phone for a little while and stuff. And I would like to, I'd love to freaking spend hours and hours on a Mario game or whatever. There's a million awesome games out there. You know, God of War, I don't know, Gears of War, like all these things, I don't know. I've had fun playing a lot of those kind of games, different kinds of games. So anyways, so the point is, you know, our goals, being goal-oriented, or I should say project-oriented, it hasn't worked for me, and I don't think we have a lot of control over what these things end up morphing into anyways. Also, like, even on a comics level, you know, like, you could be developing a comic, and you have a certain title for it, and then you bring it to a publisher, and they decide, you know, they'd like to publish it, if you want to go down that route, and they're like, yeah, we want to publish it, but can we change your logo, or even change the name of the comic, because we don't think that's very, you know, it doesn't really stand out, it's not really the best title for it, or, you know, they probably will say, well, it's not marketable, or whatever, but maybe it will change, and sometimes it changes for the better, you know. People, bands, that's have happened with bands, you know, they have a certain band name, and then they get signed, and they change their band name, and sometimes it's for the better, sometimes it might be for the worse, too, but, you know, it is what it is. Changes happen, you know, your project is going to morph into different things, you know. You might think you're focusing on one specific aspect, like The Simpsons, you know, like when it first came out, it was focused on Bart, you know, and he had all these taglines, and it was, you know, this adolescent kid getting into trouble, you know, it was like Dennis the Menace but edgier, you know, and eventually it morphed into focusing more on other characters, and I think it ended up always just mostly focusing on Homer more than anything, because he's funny, so, you know, it is what it is. I never followed that. I watched episodes from time to time my whole life, but I've never spent a lot of time watching The Simpsons, although I think it's cool. But, you know, they morphed into something a little bit different, you know, and their world got bigger, you know, and things morph into different things, so I can't be too focused on what things are going to become, you know, even just writing a story that can happen, you know, it's like you might think the story's about one thing, but you might come to the end of writing your story and you find out it actually was about something different, and your characters kind of dictated what actually happened. You might even start with an ending in mind. I think it's good to start with an ending in mind. But I think it's important to be open to that ending changing, you know. If things end up going a better way, in a different way, you know. So there's that. So I guess that's all I have. I've said a lot about that. I have another topic I want to talk about too. That was, I think I kind of went into this thinking I would have two main topics, because I have two things I'm really thinking about, and that was one of them. So the other thing was just, and this might not even be, this is more just me kind of figuring things out, and trying to understand how things work. So with my goals of doing the guitar, and then like almost the secondary one is the art lately. What I've been realizing is, and I made a Facebook post about this too last night, and I haven't even seen comments yet, so we'll see. But I did send the same thing to my buddy Mike Vlad, and he hit me up with some feedback. But I haven't had a chance to like check on Facebook for more. But I put this whole thing out there that I think that I'm like running out of breath while I'm talking because my nose is like stuffed. It always happens when I talk a lot that my nose gets stuffed. It's weird. I was never meant to be a big talker, but I podcast, and that, it seems to work out for that. But maybe I turn down the heat here. I'm a little warm, too. But, so, as I'm learning guitar, and I'm enjoying it, but I'm definitely, you know, there's parts where I'm like, oh, man, I don't want to keep doing this. Like, I can see where I would have quit if I didn't have the goal to work on something every day for 30 minutes or more a day. But because I have to work every day, it's like I might as well just keep banging away on this guitar. But I totally would have quit already, because there were times where I'm just like, am I getting anywhere? I don't know. Like, it's hard. It's not easy. But I got to a point last night, like a little bit of a tiny pinnacle or whatever you call it, crescendo, I don't know if there's a better word for it, but I can't think. But, you know, I got to a point with it last night where I'm like, oh man, these chord changes are actually starting to feel right, and I'm not pausing as much between chords, and like I even was able to kind of create my own little chord progression without pausing too much. Oh, it's starting to sound like actual songs, and I got excited, you know, and I even did a little finger picking just for fun, you know, and I created a few little melodies doing that, and I was like, oh man, this could maybe turn into a song, because honestly, I want to learn some songs, but I almost want to learn some songs just so I can learn how to make my own. My goal was always, when I was trying to learn how to do music, was always to create music. So if I don't even learn one full song, but I learn how to create my own songs, I'll be more than happy. That to me is interesting. But I probably will learn songs, because I want to learn like worship songs and stuff. You know, if I do Bible studies, then I can play the guitar and do some worship songs or whatever with people. I was like excited. I'm like making these chord changes a lot quicker. And I mean, I still only know like 6 or 7 chords, but you know, things are like, my hands are a little more dexterous. The calluses are building up. They still hurt a little bit, but you know, I'm getting that muscle memory going, you know, and I'm so excited. It's like so cool to see that happen. And I know myself, I would have quit by now, you know, and I'm just so happy that I've made this goal. And the thing is I would rather learn piano. Like, I am more into piano than guitar. In fact, I just recently got super, like, excited about possibly buying, like, a bass guitar, because I like how that sounds, and I'm like, man, it would be so fun to play bass, you know, but my brother-in-law let me borrow their guitar, and I just started messing around with it a little bit. And then I, you know, found, you know, the Musician app, and then there's, you know, some tutorials online, and justinguitar.com is a great free resource where you can literally just go through and learn the guitar for free. And I probably will end up sending some money over to him, because he takes donations, you know, because it's working and it's awesome, and I believe in supporting those who do stuff, you know, especially the guy did it for free. And I don't know, maybe he makes a living, because that's an awesome, I mean, the freemium, they call it, the freemium business model is a really cool business model, I think. It doesn't always work, though, and you got to be careful, you know. I think with illustration, it's not probably a good model, you know, but with something like teaching, you know, kind of, maybe it does work, because it's like, you can put that out there, and then it's just there, and it just works for you, you know, and maybe all you have to do is start marketing it, but the stuff's already there, and then maybe if something new changes, you might have to update it, but, you know, you just maintain it, you know, but once the basic part of it's there, it can work for itself. Really cool business model if you want to do that, but I don't want to be a trainer. I want to create projects, you know. That's what I love. So I have to figure out a business model that works for that. But I right now I'm not even worrying about that. I'm just worrying about working every day. Like I said. So, but anyways, justinguitar.com, great resource. And now I have my iPhone, so it's right in my pocket at all times. I can just jump on the website, go to the next thing, and work on it, and practice, and practice, and practice, practice, you know. And it's really cool, and it's working. And so where was I going with that? Okay, so I'm learning guitar, and I'm being super encouraged about the guitar, which I barely care about anyways, but like I'm happy and excited now because I'm doing it. So I'm encouraged and excited about that, but then I'm getting a little discouraged with my art. Although I am breaking some new ground with that, but my goal really, if anything, with art besides just working on it every day is to fill up sketchbooks, you know. I'm just learning at this point and maybe get some concept designs going, you know, too, while I'm in the process of it. And I've been really wanting to focus on drawing from imagination and less from reference, because I get stuck in drawing from reference, but that's not what I originally wanted to do. I've always wanted to create new things. So drawing from reference obviously isn't that, even though I do enjoy that, it's not the ultimate goal. So, you know, I've been trying to draw more because I kind of got stuck in a rut of always just drawing from reference, and like I'm not learning how to draw from my imagination, and that's what I want to do, you know. And I'm weak in that, and I want to be stronger in that. So I mean, tell me what you guys think of this. Like, to me, learning the guitar is a lot easier than learning how to draw. And especially if your goal is to draw an illustration, and especially if your goal is to draw comic books. And I wrote this to my buddy today. I'm like, drawing comic books is like the decathlon. And I'm probably going to do another Facebook post about this. It's like the decathlon of art, you know? Like, and this is what I'm probably going to do as a Facebook post. Like, to me, I don't think it's debatable. I think that drawing comics is easily, hands down, the hardest thing you can do in art. Easily. I don't think it's debatable. I don't think you can actually come up with a good debate of anything else that's harder than that. I just don't. The other thing that people would think is probably the hardest thing, but I don't think is ultra realism. Like, that stuff that, like, literally looks like a photograph. It's impressive, I guess. Like, it's easy to be impressed by that. But as an artist, I'm not that impressed by that. Like, because I just know that I could get there if I wanted to. All that takes is practice, keep trying to draw representational stuff, and taking your time on it, you know? The more time you take, the more realistic you can make it. And, you know, when you first start, it's harder to do that. And also learning how to draw what you see is a big, huge part of that, instead of what you think you see, which is kind of opposite to drawing from your imagination. So they're two totally different disciplines, but they complement each other. You need to have some be adept to a certain point in both if you want to be, you know, an illustrator or something. Or maybe a painter or something like that. Crap, it looks like I got on the wrong road. It wasn't clear, though. But whatever, I'll just turn around or whatever I have to do. So yeah, I think it's good to practice both. But to me, drawing representationally and trying to get super hyper realistic, that is closer to learning how to play the guitar than what I want to do, you know? And I think that it's easier. It's not, you know, it takes a ton of time and skill to get to the point where you can draw representational and really do it well. I'm not trying to say that it's not hard, but I think it's easier than illustration and comic books, because I've tried both. And I have more success when I go down the route of trying to get it to look realistic, even though I have tons to learn on that side of things too. But I don't know if I ever will. Maybe I will just to get better at drawing, but it's not my ultimate goal to do that. But, you know, with guitar, it's like, you know, you can play a G chord or any chord like a million different ways, sure. And you can also play it like, you can play the same exact chord like, I don't know, 5 different ways or something. I don't really know yet because I'm still learning, you know, depending on, you know, where you put the capo, or if you don't use a capo, or if you're, I don't know, doing it an octave higher or whatever. You can play a G chord a bunch of different ways, but it's like, I don't know, maybe 10 different ways. And then, you know, but it's always going to sound just about the same, or an octave higher or whatever, but pretty much the same. Like, and once you get that chord down, that's it. You don't, like, it's going to be, a G chord is a G chord. You know, you're not going to improve on that. And then you can do, like, a G minor chord. You can do a G seventh chord. You can do a G sustained chord. There's a lot of different flavors of that chord, but still, those are just those are separate chords. Those are just those chords. Once you learn those chords, you got it. You know, it's like learning, and I you know, paralleled it with learning how to draw the human head. You know, once you got, you don't get that with learning how to draw, like, the human head or something. Like, there's no right way exactly. I mean, there is fundamentals, but there's no, like, okay, this is the way you draw a head, and once you can draw a head like Jim Lee, that's the way you draw a head. Now you're done. You don't have to learn anymore, you know? Even though he does draw one of the best anatomical, maybe, heads or something, or he's really good at drawing things anatomically correct. But, you know, anatomically correct isn't, you know, necessarily the way you want to go. Maybe you want to draw more cartoony, maybe you want to draw more representational. And there's degrees even of doing things anatomically correct or representational, you know, and maybe you want to do some kind of hybrid of the two. So there's that. There's also like 100 different methods of how to construct a head. Maybe you just look at reference and do it from intuition, you know? Some people do that. Some people have certain structures, and there's different methods on how to structure the skull underneath the head, or how to form all that. And it's all, I've had a hard time with all that, and it's like, I don't know which method to even stick with. And then you get into body shapes of humans, and then you get into, you know, female or male, which is different, and then you get into ages of females and males, and that's just the human body. Now you got to start, if you want to draw comics, you got to learn how to draw everything. So now you got to learn how to draw the head of a dog, and then how to draw the body of a dog, and then different dog types and breeds, and it's like ridiculous. I mean, there is so much to being able to draw well, and there's no set method to learning it. You know, you can make an argument for the, yes, there's fundamentals, you know, you're supposed to draw the gesture first, and then you draw the structure on top, and then you put in the details. I love that, because that actually gives me something. But still, at the end of the day, what do I measure it against? And still, at the end of the day, if I do all that, I still might not come up with the result that I want. I still might not be able to make what's in my head come to life on paper. You know? And then, like, I can't decide on one way to do it or another. And so it's like this big mishmash of squishy learning, and I'm having a hard time with it. Like, it's more intuitive. You have to mix the intuitiveness with the methods, you know? And learning the guitar, there's aspects of that in there too, but, I mean, a G chord is a G chord. You know, once you learn where all the notes are on the guitar, there, that's where they are, and that's where they always are. If you throw a capo on it, it changes, okay. But still, once you throw that capo on it in that specific section, those chords are only one place, and that's it. You know, and so are those notes. You know, and you start learning scales, it's only one way. Once you get the scale down, you got it down. And you can, you know, you can just get better at doing those scales, you know, but you can, you know, get faster. You can get to know them better. But it's all about knowing something that's set in stone, you know. And then, sure, you can embellish it and play it different ways, you know, you can, but the basics of it is easy. It's easier because the basics are set in stone. That the basics just aren't set in stone, really, with drawing. Or maybe I'm, maybe I don't know what I'm talking about. Maybe they are, and I'm just, you know, I don't prescribe to, you know, art is art, you know, bad, excuse me, like, I don't prescribe to, like, ultimate relativity when it comes to art, you know. I think there are principles that are important, you know. Depending on what kind of thing you want to draw, you know. But there's a lot more that's relative with art, you know, and rendering things. And that's kind of what makes art non-boring. And same thing with music, too. You know, that's the aspect that makes music non-boring. You think, you would think that, you know, after a while you'll get to the end of possibilities of creativity with music because things are set in stone, like an A chord is an A chord, whatever. But, you know, the fact is, we haven't even touched close to exploring what we could explore in music. Because basically, the popular music follows only one scale for the most part, and one time signature for the most part, and often we stick with the same 3 to 7 chords for the most part. I mean, it's amazing how many songs, it's hundreds and thousands and probably millions of songs are based off of the same chord progressions. And it's, they all sound, some of them sound really similar, but, you know, there's an argument, a lot of them sound very different, and there's different elements that are added, you know, different kind of singing. There's a lot of squishiness to it, but, you know, there's enough where you can have infinite amount of variation, basically. And we haven't even explored, And popular music rarely explores, you know, other time signatures that are not used in other scales. There's so many other scales out there that we just don't even mess with too much unless we're maybe flavoring up what we normally use a little bit more with some other kind of scale or chord time signature. And there's other factors, too, that we don't even mess with too much. You know, there's whole instruments that just don't come into most popular music, generally, you know. And other genres like jazz or classical may and blues or whatever may, you know, go a little further, you know, into some of these things that we don't normally use. But even still, they don't generally deviate too far from the beaten path, you know. not enough to where they're really super exploring. And there is more experimental stuff that does, of course, there is with anything, but, you know, the stuff that's more experimental just never makes it into popular, the mainstream of our consciousness and what is interesting to most people. So, yeah. So, I don't know, what do you guys think about that? Like, a lot of artists are musicians as well, you know? So, you know, do you think something like music is just a lot easier to learn, even though I'm not saying it's easy, you know? And there is infinite amounts of improvement you can make, but to me, it seems easier. Like, it seems like, at least when I know, like, I can kind of perfect a G chord, you know? Or get a certain mastery where I don't have to revisit it really ever again, you know? But I still have to keep revisiting how to draw a stinking head. I mean, the equivalent comes when you do start to get mastery with art is you find your way of doing it, you know what I mean? So there's that, but it's a lot squishy, you know? One person might draw heads one way, and another person might draw them a totally different way. And both are acceptable. As long as it stays, you know, there's certain principles, proportion, contrast, scale, all that stuff, obviously, but you find your own way to make that work. And like I said, there's versions of that in music as well, but I just think that, you know, there's something to measure up against when it comes to music, you know. And so it makes it a little easier for me. I don't know. So what do you guys think? I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong, but I think there's something to that. So, yeah, we're probably going on. I'm sure we're probably over an hour here. Probably way over an hour. That's all I really wanted to talk about. I think I touched on everything for now. When will this come out? I don't know. I'd like to get it out soon, though, and I'd like to do the podcast at least somewhat regularly. I feel the need to do it. And another thing that's kind of stopped me from doing the podcast is I kind of want to up it a little, make it better a little bit. Like, I want to record it at home, maybe, you know, so that you don't hear all the background driving stuff and, you know, on a better microphone and stuff like that. And it's also easier to convert, you know, and just get it out to you guys if I do it at home, because I'll record it on the computer. I don't have to convert it over to the computer, and it'll be right there, and I can just publish it, and I'm already at the computer, so I'll just publish it right after I record it or something, you know. It just can be a lot more streamlined if I were to do it at home, so, but then I have to make the time to find the time to do it at home, so. And that's the main reason why I've always recorded them on the road, because my time is limited, you know, at home, so, and I have, while I'm driving, it's like a convenient time to do it, so. So, yeah, that's it, guys. Thanks for listening. You know, who knows how many people will listen to this, because I've been so spotty on dropping podcasts, but, you know, it is what it is, and thank you for listening. I know there's probably at least a few people who are always there when I'm putting one out, and I really appreciate you guys. I guess if there's anything I'm going to plug, I think I'm going to start just plugging the Patreon. I have thoughts about websites too. I don't know. So sick of trying to figure out the website and branding situation. And so many people are doing better than me who have like zero website. You know, they have like a Store Envy page or a Big Cartel page, and that's it. And like a Facebook page, and they basically run everything through social media. Maybe, or they have a Patreon, you know. So, I don't know, I might be moving towards that route more. But yeah, check out the Patreon. It's, I don't know. Hopefully it'll be linked on the podcast notes or something. I think it's Marsh Makes Art. Look for that. But if you go to marshmakesart.com, there's a link to the Patreon. So that's the real way to get there. And I think that's the biggest reason that's worthwhile to have a website. So, but I'm thinking of changing my thing back to Donkey Jaw Projects, or maybe just marshallkucher.com. I don't know. I don't know how to brand this stuff. Because now I'm doing music, and Marsh Makes Art doesn't work with music. So I don't know. How do I do it? I don't know. But I'm not focused on that anymore. I'm focused on making the work. And I'm praying that God will reveal a good way for me to brand it, I guess. You know? I need inspiration in that area. There's really no right way, you know? Marketing is similar to art. You know, it's... You kind of have to figure out your own recipe and go forth, you know? So, we'll see what that happens to be, ends up being. But for now, this is the Escape Artist Podcast. It is hosted at marshmakesart.com. And check out the Patreon. I do want to build up the Patreon. I'm really super much complicating. Probably am. Contemplating starting to do a giveaway every month to get the Patreon going. And like I said, I don't have business goals, but I don't see anything wrong with making it known that I could use some help, you know. And then that can help me to get, you know, reinvest it. For now, I just really want money to reinvest back into things so things aren't such a struggle for me, you know. I'm always, like, there's so many things I could use. I need a better microphone. I use the cheapest microphone ever. The guitar I'm playing on is like a Walmart guitar that was found in the trash. So it's like I'm learning on something that's not even that great, and it's not even mine. I'm borrowing it, so I'd like to own a guitar. That'd be nice now that I'm learning. So that all that helps, you know, and I will be creating projects. It's just I don't know which ones at this point. So, you know, if you put anything towards Patreon, you know, monthly, it's a big help, you know. Right now I get like $12, I think, or something a month. And thank you very much if you are listening and you do contribute. It's really awesome. It's really helpful, even that little bit. I was looking at my account the other day, and like my mother-in-law, who does like $5 a month, you know, she's contributed $90, you know, since she's got on there. And it's like, you know, what an awesome thing. Like your family members support you, and they probably would like to support you even financially, you know, but they don't have a lot of money. But maybe they have $5 to drop your way, you know, every month. And if they love you, they probably would like to do that. They probably wish they had an opportunity that was easier for them to help you out because they love you or whatever, you know. And Patreon's a really cool avenue for that, you know. So I think it's a service that's, I think it's a cool service used in that way, you know. So I don't know. What do you guys think? So anyways, check out the Patreon, marshmakesart.com. You can find a link there and do it up, you know. So thank you for listening, guys. And I will, guys and gals, and I'll be hopefully hitting this up more regularly. That's it. I'll talk to you later. Peace out.